He has no blood in his body. It was so funny how they made his eyes. I just actually use this reference. He looked like a girl in a horror movie who's been like, who's being like slowly possessed the whole movie. And her eyes, they just get baggier and baggier.
She's like, no, I'm fine. And they're like, something is wrong with Melissa.
Girl, you're possessed.
What is it? Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
Welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 314, Valentine's Day Massacre, which originally aired on February 2nd, 2000.
February 2nd, it's the Valentine's Day episode, 2 weeks in advance.
Groundhog's Day.
Yeah. What are we drinking for episode 314?
We are drinking the IV blood bag, which is really just cranberry juice and tequila in a blood bag. I'm drinking mine out of a cup. Don't love it.
Yeah, some strong reactions.
I would rather just have cranberry vodka, but you know, I'm a simple lady.
So I'm going to dive right into the recap.
Perfect.
This episode opens with Dawson trying to teach Joey how to drive. Drive a stick, to be exact. And it is soon revealed that Pacey's in the backseat. The three of them get to talking about what to do tonight on Valentine's Day. And Dawson and Pacey learn from Joey that her little boyfriend, AJ, can't make it to celebrate the holiday because he's in midterm hell at college. Pacey wonders what kind of guy would leave his girlfriend on Valentine's Day to study. Dawson and Pacey invite Joey along to a classmate's anti-Valentine's Day party. And the three of them talk about how depraved and disgusting this kid's reputation is, which is all the more reason that Pacey wants to go. Pacey later finds out from his brother, Doug, that he will be staking out the golf course because he received a tip about how there's a crazy high school party there tonight. Jack, meanwhile, is freaked out when he learns that Andy has invited his ex-girlfriend, Kate Douglas. Yes, I said girlfriend, to town to celebrate Valentine's Day. Andy claims that Kate just broke up with her boyfriend and she needs a fun night. Andy didn't tell her that Jack is gay, so she has no idea. Jack is anxious about her arrival, especially on a romantic holiday such as Valentine's Day. When Kate arrives, she says that the reason her boyfriend broke up with her is because he's gay, which makes Jack spiral even further. They all link up at the golf course, and Pacey puts the buzz in Dawson's ear that Kate might be looking for a rebound from her gay boyfriend tonight. The group is joined by Joey, who insists on being the angel on Dawson's shoulder since Pacey is so determined to be the devil. In addition to knowing the password to get into the party, which Jack has secured for them, Caulfield also makes each of them down a jello shot to gain access to his party. Everyone does except for Joey and Andy, who refuse. So while those two drive around on a golf cart having been denied entry, Joey vents to Andy about Pacey and how annoying he is, urging Dawson to be so hedonistic. Andy says Joey sounds just like she did right before she started dating Pacey, and that's right when Doug finds them and stops them. Dawson and Kate get to know each other, and she calls him out on being the nice guy of the group. She sees right through him when he claims that he isn't. They're about to kiss when she gets a little sick from drinking too much, and before they can get back to it, Doug finds them too. So Henry, meanwhile, has been giving his blood at a blood drive in order to make money and secure the perfect date for Jen. He's also been working at the restaurant that he's planning to take her to make some extra money too. He wants this date to be the best one she's ever been on. But during their romantic meal, she notices he looks a little peaked and he actually ends up passing out. And it turns out that he's faint because of all the blood he gave. So as he's being taken away by the ambulance and the EMTs, he gives Jen her gift, the gift that he did all this for, a Hungarian ring. All of this sours Jen on dating and love even more. But with Grams's help, she realizes that Jen was more anxious about the date than she let on. And at the hospital, she tells Henry that she's never had a date on Valentine's Day, let alone a first date. She tells Henry that she wants to start acting more like themselves and less like what they think the other wants them to be. Henry realizes that they're having a date right here in his hospital room, and the two just have a romantic night eating his jello. In the drunk tank at the Capeside PD, the gang is all in the cell, and this gives Jack and Kate the chance to talk. She correctly guesses what he has to say, that he's gay. He confirms this, and she says, but we had sex, and it was good. It also comes out that Kate and Dawson almost kiss, and Joey does not like this. She reads him the riot act for acting so out of character. Dawson tells Joey that she needs to give him the freedom to make mistakes. A drunk Pacey, meanwhile, lets them both have it and says it's around $10 million with these two and he can't take it anymore. Joey wonders when Pacey and her bickering went from being innocent banter to being so mean. He's been horrible to her all day and night. Pacey says that she's taking this way too seriously, and this back and forth between Dawson and Joey is enough to make a guy want to puke, which Pacey actually does from drinking so much. So Mitch, meanwhile, arrives and gets everyone out of the drunk tank except for Pacey, because Pacey's dad wants him to spend the night there. Mitch reads Dawson the riot act, saying he doesn't recognize who his son is anymore, and if Dawson is hell-bent on acting like a child, then Mitch is going to treat him like one. He wants Dawson to start working at Gail's restaurant as soon as it is up and running so he can earn his keep around here. So Pacey and Doug, meanwhile, talk in the cell, and Pacey tells Doug that there's a girl, a really annoying girl that drives him crazy, and she's pretty. She's so pretty, it gives him butterflies. Doug tells Pacey, as you get older, you lose the butterflies, and he advises Pacey, don't lose the butterflies. Doug asks Pacey what he plans to do about his feelings for this girl, and Pacey tells Doug that there's zero chance he can act on his feelings. There's no way he can be honest about them, because if he does, it would be a cataclysmic disaster of epic proportions. Doug says that in his experience, you don't meet too many people in your life that give you the butterflies. So if Pacey isn't honest, it'll be like living in a prison, a figurative one, not like the literal one that they're in right now. So the next morning, Pacey arrives at the Potter B&B and he apologizes to Joey for what he said last night. Joey tells him that she's actually really concerned about him because when it comes to people like Dawson, you know, he's never really going to go to the dark side, no matter how tempted he is. But Pacey's another story. She doesn't have to worry about Dawson like she does Pacey. Pacey's relieved to hear that there might be something actually beyond their banter. She tells him that he's really going to need to start reading between their banter. Instead of confessing his feelings, Pacey gives her advice on driving and what she's been doing wrong. The episode ends with him giving her a lesson, much like Dawson did in the cold open. Only this time she has some success and she gets up driving a little bit. And that is episode 314 of Valentine's Day Massacre.
Wonderful job.
Well, what an episode. So much angst.
We are in the thick of the angst.
The angst is angsting. Who wrote this episode?
This episode was written by Tom Capinos. He was most recently with us for episode 307, Escape from Witch Island. And he was originally with us for episode 305, Indian Summer. So if you want to hear more about his career, you can go back and listen to that episode.
Much better than Witch Island. Much better.
Yeah. No, totally. This is a strong episode.
And it was directed by...
It was directed by Sandy Smolin. He was originally with us last season with episode 214, To Be or Not to Be, which is such a good episode. And he'll be back with us for two more episodes in the series.
Awesome. Love that.
Yeah.
Who is our guest cast shout out? I think I know who it's going to be.
I am giving our guest cast shout out to Alexandra Breckenridge playing Kate Douglas.
That's what I thought.
You're very smart.
This is us, star.
Yeah. So before this appearance on Dawson's Creek, she had three TV movies under her belt, but this was like her first big break into primetime on like a primetime series. She went on immediately after this to be in an episode of Freaks and Geeks, and then she was kind of off to the races. She's been in tons of stuff. You most recently know her from This Is Us, playing Sophie. She was just, or still is, I think it's still on, the lead of the show Virgin River on Netflix. I know my mom loves that show.
Mm-hmm.
She's been in The Walking Dead, American Horror Story. She's everywhere. As soon as I saw her face, I was like, wait, like it took me a minute because she looks so young and so different. Now she's kind of blonde and has a little bit of a different vibe, but I immediately knew that I knew her.
Yeah, she was in the original season of American Horror Story. She played the maid, the younger maid.
Yeah. I watched that.
And This Is Us, you know, she plays a major love interest for Justin Hartley's character, Kevin.
Yeah, she's a great little actress, and this was her start.
I never once put together that she was on Dawson's in all of my watching her shows.
Never. Oh, fun fact, her husband, Casey Hooper, is a professional guitarist, and he's played for like Selena Gomez, Adam Lambert, Avril Lavigne, but he signed as a full-time part of Katy Perry's band. So he was with Katy Perry at the Super Bowl halftime show, and actually he and Alexandra met at a Grammys after party. He was there with Katy Perry. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, I wonder what she was doing there.
A mystery.
Well, that is a good fact.
Yeah.
You know, Katy Perry's back. Like, people are loving this new Katy Perry album.
And she also just did that podcast, Call Her Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen her in the press a lot talking about her personal life and stuff. She said that if Orlando Bloom does the dishes, she'll give him a blowjob. Did you see that quote?
No. Good for her. Well, what about the music?
I don't have anything. Do you?
I do remember the closing song. I don't remember it being like a huge part of my life, but I recognized it when he's giving her the driving lesson.
It is Never Be the Same by Susan
Aglaclark or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Aglaclark. It didn't mean anything to me, but.
Well, we're getting to some good music moments in the following episodes.
Yeah, we are.
Did you have a past versus present?
The thing that made me laugh the most in this was when they arrive at the party, the entrance fee is taking a jello shot. And when Pacey is handed the jello shot, he says, "Well, thank you, Mr. Cosby." And that has a really different connotation today.
I 1000% clocked that as well.
Oh, so funny. He's obviously referring to Jell-O because Bill Cosby was like the face of Jell-O, but means something different in 2024.
Yeah. Well, the fact that the guy, is it Matt Caulfield?
That sounds right.
Not to be confused with Max Caulfield from Catcher in the Rye. Or Catcher in the Rye? Oh, it's not Catcher in the Rye. It's, oh, it's Catcher in the Rye.
Isn't it Hayden Caulfield?
Holden Caulfield.
Holden! Oh my God.
Oh my God. Well, who's Max Caulfield? Is that an actor?
I don't know.
Matt Caulfield, not to be confused with British actor Maxwell Caulfield, or Holden Caulfield from Catcher in the Rye, just so we're clear. Anyway, he's making them drink to gain access, which is also, I feel like, a Cosby kind of...
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't push back when Andy and Joey both say that they're not interested. He's, you know, a little more chill than Bill Cosby.
He just tells them to get the hell out. Yeah.
Get out, losers.
Well, I don't have a past versus present.
Well, then let's dive right in.
Let's just get into it.
Turns out I hate Joey.
Joey sucked this episode.
Oh my gosh, he's so annoying. That was actually my original past versus present until I heard that Cosby line. I don't remember hating her or like her grading on me at this part in the season when I watched it the first time. She's driving me nuts. In this episode, in Four to Tango, I'm just like, take a chill pill, Joey. What is happening?
Get off Dawson's jock.
Seriously.
When he takes the jello shot and she's like, you're actually going to go through with this? You're actually going to take a jello shot? Good God. Take your little bucket hat and get gone.
Who wears a bucket hat to a night party?
Or at all.
Come on.
But I will say they did it in a way that didn't feel as heavy-handed, or it didn't feel, even though we've gone down this road numerous times, season one and two, Joey getting territorial of Dawson and vice versa, it didn't feel super repetitive. I wasn't like, oh my God, get on with it. But they had to do it for Pacey to say what he had to say in the jail cell, which basically is like, here we go again with you people. This is the first time it's really happened since Pacey has feelings for her.
Since Pacey has realized he's had feelings for her. Yeah, yeah.
Since Pacey's realize he's, and this is I feel like they had to do it, they had to do this beat, but they really just did it very lightly. It was just a very light drizzling of it, so I think it worked. But yeah, very protective of him.
In Four to Tango, it was giving like prude, kind of very, it was very much so motivated by the sexual storyline between Jen and Pacey, and in this one she's just a wet blanket.
Certainly not as repetitive as Jen Henry. I do not remember Jen's storyline being so terrible season three. I thought they had a real relationship with real movement and real beat and real arc. It is the same every episode with them.
It's so drawn out.
It's insane. We are 14 episodes into this. It is February. The Jen Henry thing, there's been at least 6 episodes of the same storyline. And spoiler alert, Henry's only here for one season. Like, in my head, I just remember it so differently.
It's so slow. And every time I'm with them, I'm just like, oh, who cares? Like, get to the point. Henry's cute, but I'm just like, ugh.
This one had some like levity to it. I just thought it was so funny. He was giving his blood. And but then Jen kind of ruins it by taking it just so, she's so melodramatic. Like, oh my God, love sucks. This guy fainted.
This guy fainted and gave me a ring. Everything's terrible. No, that's what I wrote down in all of those scenes. Like, Henry is cute. Grams has some hilarious lines in this episode.
Yeah.
She is spinning wisdom.
What were your favorites?
When she said, an unadorned neck is proper for a first date. Chaste. Pure. When Jen was trying to decide if she should put on a necklace, it really reminded me of.
Very demure, very mindful, very cutesy.
Very cutesy.
Very chastey.
Very chaste, very pure.
Yeah, she was very funny this episode. Do you think that Jen and Henry went to Entree Nou, Cape Side's French restaurant? It looked a little Entree Nou-ish.
You did bring that up, but I just do wish they would have said that.
I know.
I wish they would have made that callback. I also wrote down a date. Even a bad one is just a moment. Another pearl in a great necklace. Okay, Grams.
Grams is spinning wisdom.
Go off, Grams.
It was really funny when the person drawing the blood, she didn't want to take any more of his blood. And he like convinces her like, you know, don't you believe in love? Haven't you ever found it? And she's like, not yet. And he's like, well, you just might. And she's like, okay, get on the table. I'm gonna take some more blood.
He was like, well, maybe he can't get here because somebody wouldn't let him give blood. I'm like, Henry, that's a stretch.
But also, I think they say something about blood plasma. Like, I think he's getting plasma drawn, which is different than blood. Maybe.
But isn't plasma is part of your blood? The blood is made up of three things: red blood cells, white blood cells, and plasma. I'm pretty sure. So I think when
didn't know we had a pre-med person in the house.
But I think that your plasma, you get blood taken and then they spin out your plasma, and plasma can be used for stuff.
Have you ever gotten paid to give blood?
No, I have bad blood and nobody wants mine.
Now we got bad blood. I have never gotten paid. I think you just get paid for like sperm and like marrow.
Look, I don't know, but I think most people just donate blood.
Yeah, and don't get paid for it.
Maybe it was different in the 90s.
Maybe. I don't think gay people can give blood yet. That should have been a storyline. Jack should have tried to give blood.
That's still a thing?
I'm pretty sure.
Wow. Well, neither can I, so.
I don't know. You know I love to lie. I love to spread I love to spread misinformation. Like there's no tomorrow. It's not my fault. Usually it's like I mix up names, so people will be like, oh, those two are married.
It's not my fault.
Those two are married, but like I give the wrong name. Mm. Like I say Melissa McCarthy, not Jenny McCarthy, like something like that. Not that.
Like I say Holden Caulfield instead of Matt Caulfield.
There is a Maxwell Caulfield, though, to my credit. Okay, well, Jen and Henry, that's it. We're done.
Done with them. Couldn't care less. Oh, wait.
I have a question.
I have one more Grams quote.
Okay.
She says, not even the harsh jangle of the cash register can keep love at bay. Who wrote for her this episode?
Tom Capinos.
I know. But really funny stuff. Like, Jen's just like, I don't even like Valentine's Day. It's just a consumer holiday. And Graham's like lurking in the back of the kitchen, goes, not even the harsh jangle of the cash register can keep love at bay.
Oh, and then it's like, oh, Jen says the reason she hates Valentine's Day or whatever is because she's always been like the side piece. And like on previous Valentine's Days, her love interests have like spent the night with their real girlfriends. Sorry you had to take a night off from being a homewrecker for one night out of the year.
Jen's had it rough.
She's really seen some shit. Good Lord. Well, anyway.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about Kate.
Wait, can we talk about one more thing?
Yes.
Jen and Henry end up in the hospital. That's where their date's gone wrong. They're eating Jell-O. What was with the Jell-O in this episode?
So much Jell-O. Also, Henry would have never been admitted to the hospital. They would have been like, son, you gave too much blood. Here's a banana bag. Get out of here. He's like in the hospital eating Jell-O.
What if he needed a blood donation?
With his own blood right back in.
He has no blood in his body. It was so funny how they made his eyes. I just actually use this reference. He looked like a girl in a horror movie who's being like slowly possessed the whole movie, and her eyes, they just get baggier and baggier.
She's like, no, I'm fine. And they're like, something is wrong with Melissa.
Girl, you're possessed. Well, he just passes out at Entree Nou.
Causes a real scene.
And then Jen just lets him get taken away. He gives her a Hungarian red ring and she takes it and she runs home and she's like, it's over. Henry and I are over.
That's such a good point. I didn't even think about that. Like, and Grams is like, it's fine. And she's like, all right, I guess I'll go see if he's okay.
I just can't.
Does Henry have parents? Like, why wouldn't his parents be there?
Why wouldn't he ask them for money?
Miss Evelyn, what's her name? Constance. Miss Constance, she could give him money.
Yeah, I thought she was his handy boy.
He's her handy boy.
Oh, God.
I'm sure that he could do a little extra work around that house. Clean those pipes.
A lot of plot holes in this episode. A lot of plot holes.
We keep saying we're going to move on, and then we get sucked back into Jen and Henry.
We're really moving on. Okay, what's next?
Kate, I want to talk about Kate. What are the odds of dating two out gay guys in 2000?
Well, they're not out when she dates them.
Right. But they come out.
I feel like it was pretty common then in high school.
I guess what I mean is, what are the odds of her knowing that that two of her boyfriends are gay? I feel like usually it was like, I dated this guy, it didn't work out. And then like 5 years later, you were like, oh, that's why.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Who's going to be up that upfront about it then? No, nobody.
Correct. Nobody. Well, anyway, she's got bad luck.
It's really funny when in the drunk tank at the end, she asked Dawson if he's gay. And he's like, what? No.
And then Joey's like, oh, my God. You tried to kiss her?
You're so out of character. What character, Joey?
The sketch of Dawson that you have in your head.
We have to back way up.
Yeah, we do.
Do you know how to drive a stick?
No. Do you?
Me neither. No. Because someone won't teach me. Because someone's afraid I'm going to break this Porsche.
Well, someone should get his act together.
No, I will break the Porsche. I will break the Porsche.
You should borrow someone else's not Porsche and learn on that.
I don't know anyone else who drives a stick.
My cousin, she drives a stick. I think it's a 2000. So it's like almost 25 years old. She refuses to get rid of it. She loves it. It's a Volkswagen. She just keeps putting tons and tons of money in it to keep it running. But she's like, they don't really make sticks anymore. Like only luxury cars, really. Can you get a stick? And she wants to keep driving a stick.
Yeah, I learned that recently, that sticks will eventually be no more.
It's a good skill to have, though. Like if there were a zombie apocalypse and...
Well, I was just going to say why.
You stumbled upon a car and it happened to be a stick, you'd be screwed.
I know. So it opens. Dawson is not having much success teaching Joey. They've barely gone down the driveway. And then Pacey's like, what the hell? What's happening? It's Valentine's Day. Dawson's a bad teacher. They're going to a party at Matt Caulfield's, who has a horrible reputation. Well, Joey thinks it's horrible. The guys think it's great. He slept with six cheerleaders in one weekend.
Sounds like he's killing it.
The stamina.
But it's not at his house, right? It's at a golf course, or that's a pivot?
It's at the golf course. It's at the 18th hole.
That feels risky, doesn't it?
It does. If you're going to throw a party on a golf course, you know, keep it, like we said, keep it cutesy, keep it demure, keep it quiet. Don't maybe have a pit fire. You know, don't light things on fire.
It is a full, huge party, and they're all driving golf carts up to it with their lights on.
It looks like Burning Man.
It really does.
It looks like there's like a sacrifice happening there. It's like a luau. I don't know what's happening there. Not that I think luaus have sacrifices.
Don't cancel me.
That wasn't non sequiturs in my head. But I mean, come on. They're lighting this golf course on fire.
Yeah, I honestly thought it was a weird choice, but you know, that's why it got tipped off. Doug is on patrol.
But Pacey tries to throw him off his scent. Pacey learns that Doug got a tip, and then Pacey's like, no, I heard it's...
On which island, he said.
On which island?
I was like, that is a weird choice.
Tom Capinos is trying to get that which island residual money.
Oh my God, which island is a character? Get that character payment.
But it doesn't work because Doug spots Joey and Andy and shines that light in their face.
Andy's wearing like a weird little crocheted head scarf. Did you notice that? She looks like a real dweeb. Andy and Joey both look really like dweebs. Full dweebs.
I like Joey and Andy scenes though. I like when they're together.
Mm-hmm.
But Pacey and Joey have been biting each other's heads off this whole episode. And Andy says, you sound just like I did right before I started dating him. So this is obviously Pacey's way of flirting. He just goes really hard.
That was interesting because I do also feel like, I mean, it's coming from Pacey as well, but the girls, like it felt like both Andy and Joey are like going hard at Pacey unprovoked as well. It's interesting that it's mirrored that way.
Pacey was being pretty nasty.
In this episode, he was big time.
His words just didn't have that Pacey levity. They were like very pointed.
Indeed.
I liked when he said, kind of lame guy lets his girlfriend sit home on Valentine's Day and would rather have his nose in a book, which I agree.
I don't care about AJ at all.
I know.
Like when he came up in this, I was like, oh, right, AJ. Ugh.
With his freaking
caterpillar eyebrows
and his weird beer that's on
his mead and his oversized blazer.
And his Northern Lights and his old elderly friends.
Get out of here.
And your little computer.
On the other hand, we have Kate, who says, I'm not a filthy eyesore, am I? Kate is giving desperate energy.
Yeah. Relatable. Finally.
Yeah, it's a very specific, desperate girl energy that I'm getting from her.
How about Pacey? Pacey tells Dawson, this girl is like brokenhearted and she's like looking for a wild time. Thank God it's Joshua Jackson delivering these lines. No one else would be able to pull that off. It would come across creepy.
It's true, actually. But it didn't. But when you just said it, I was like, yeah, that doesn't sound great.
Yeah, it was like, Dawson, get in there. Like, she's a wounded girl on Valentine's Day.
And Dawson's, honestly, Dawson and Kate might be perfect for each other.
They might be perfect for each other.
In any other scenario.
Yeah.
They're both saying the weirdest shit. And she's like, am I a filthy eyesore? And he's like, no, you're beautiful in the way that people used to be beautiful. What are you talking about?
God. Oh my God. These men are brutal in this episode.
Yeah. I wish that she didn't get so drunk that she puked, because maybe they could have had a love story.
They could have had a rendezvous with the 17th hole. But Deputy Doug shows up and arrests them all.
He does.
I have a question. Did you ever celebrate Valentine's Day in high school?
Nah.
Same. Did you ever go to a party on a golf course?
No. In a field?
Sure.
Yeah, not at a golf course, no.
Actually, I've never been to a party in a field. I don't know why I said it like that.
Sure, yeah, of course. Sure. We used to just drink in fields, and then the cops would come and we would run away.
Did the cops come? How'd they find out?
Yeah. I mean, I live in a 1-square-mile town. It was not hard for them to figure it out.
Did people have lights on in the field?
Nah.
But you gotta sit in the darkness.
We're mostly just standing around holding little bottles of alcohol.
No, we used to hang out. One of our friend's older brothers was 4 years older and he was college age. So we would just go there.
Nice.
Then someone killed themselves. I told you about that, right? Yeah, they were playing Russian roulette. Like, who does that?
What are you talking about?
I know. And it was like the first, no one knew who he was. Like, it was his first.
Oh my God. That is insane.
He came in hot.
That is after school special. It's giving me Chicken on the Tracks energy. Did you ever have to watch Chicken on the Tracks? No. I think because my town is 1 square mile and there's train tracks that go through the center of town, we had to watch this thing called Chicken on the Tracks every year. It was like a pretty like, oh, whatever. We're just like all hanging out. And then somebody's like, let's go race on the train tracks. Like there's like one person who comes up with this bad idea and they go and they get hit by trains and their heads got cut off.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't play Chicken on the Tracks and don't play Russian roulette.
Man.
Also, I just like, I have never stepped foot on train tracks and never will, because just Stand By Me. Every film, every TV show and film from the 80s and 90s that featured a train track featured someone getting their foot stuck in it. And
I know
it is so ingrained. I can't even look at them.
I will never get on a train.
I live near a metro rail. I am so triggered every time I hear the ding ding. I'm like, glad my feet are nowhere near there.
I feel that way.
You know what else?
About the subway.
What else I was talking about the other day?
What else?
I had to look up. I have not seen, in the last 33 years, I have not seen a B and not thought of My Girl.
Oh, God.
The power of that movie.
I know.
Every time I see a B, I think of Thomas J.
And you think of his glasses. He needs his glasses.
He can't see without his glasses.
He can't see without his glasses.
But just like the power of the trauma.
Ugh. Now I'm sad.
Anyway.
I wasn't sad about the suicide, but My Girl really got me.
Don't go on train tracks. Don't play chicken. Don't play Russian roulette. And don't go looking for your friend's mood ring next to the beehive.
Write those down. Rules to live by.
We're in the drunk tank. Everyone's under arrest. Mitch comes, gets everyone out. Mitch has had it with Dawson. He's had it up to here.
He has.
He's like, first, you're in my boat.
If you're going to start acting like a kid, then I'm going to start acting like a parent.
Okay, Mitch, that is not the read that you think it is. Okay. Mitch is like, I'm going to get you out of this cell and take you to my loft with the cage. And show you what real prison's like.
Wait, I want to go back really quick. Kate and Dawson go on a walk and then they like melt down together. And Dawson's like, ugh, can the universe ever conspire with my desire to have a good time? And Kate goes, ugh, Dawson, people are dying in the Balkans.
I know. It totally reminded me of Kardashians when Kim's looking for her earring.
Kim, people are dying.
Not the Balkans.
I know. It was just so random. The two of them are freaks. I want that spinoff. Okay, we can go back to Mitch.
Can we talk about Jack and Kate had sex?
S-E-X. I know.
And Jack was good.
I know. I wrote that down. But also I wrote down that they look more like siblings than Andy and Jack look like siblings. So it was like a little bit weird for me. But good for them.
And she calls them Jackers. Hey, Jackers.
Oh, hate that. Hate that. Hate how when Dawson first approaches her to go on the walk and he's like, hi. And she's like, hi. And he's like, how are you? And she's like, how are you? And he's like, what's going on? She's like, what's going on? I don't remember the words, but she's just playing the repeating game.
I know. That was so weird.
Are we 4 years old?
Was she drunk?
I don't know.
That was crazy.
Two people puke in this episode from drinking, and neither of them seemed the least bit drunk.
Pacey and Kate, it was wild.
Like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're like...
Well, Pacey is Pacey drowning his sorrows? No, not really. Maybe Pacey just has all these feelings. He doesn't know what to do with them. So he's just getting drunk.
I think that that's true.
He told Doug at the end, you know, I can't be honest about my feelings because it'll be like cataclysmic and the hell mouth will open. And he's, of course, referring to he can never do anything with his feelings because of Dawson.
Yeah, I thought that scene was really cute. The Doug Pacey scene. Doug is not the nicest. They're not the nicest to each other. They're brothers. It's whatever. But Mitch comes and gets everybody out of the drunk tank and Doug closes around Pacey and says, Dad thinks you should stay the night. It's a bummer, but then when he comes back, Pacey opens up to him, he opens up to Pacey, and it's a really sweet scene. A rare sweet scene between the two of them.
So cute.
If you recall, Doug pulled a gun on Pacey in season one.
That was wild. They've come a long way. And it is true. Like, butterflies are reserved for teenagehood.
It's really actually sad.
Maybe college.
Maybe.
Now it's just anxiety and dread and trauma and spirals.
Depression.
Depression.
Things are grim. I think that's fair. The grimmest part of it is it's fairly universal. I think that the post-COVID world, everyone is kind of miserable.
I mean, we haven't even gotten to seasonal depression yet.
Oh, no.
It hasn't even turned dark at 2 p.m. yet.
Oh, my God. You just actually made me sad again.
What else?
It's in the drunk tank. So going back in the drunk tank before Mitch comes to get everybody out, they're having this back and forth where Pacey is like, do you know how exhausting it is to exist in your periphery? Like talking about Joey and Dawson and their whole back and forth and Joey harping on Dawson and all this stuff. And Joey is like, what's the deal? Like, why are you riding me, basically? And he's like, isn't this just normal? This is how it always is. And she's like, I don't remember it being pointed or hurtful. Like, you're coming at me. And he's like, well, I don't remember you ever taking it so seriously. Like, they have a real fight. Like, it's not just their normal banter. It's pretty intense. And then he pukes.
I know. And he was just like, look, when did you start taking this so seriously? It was a good episode for them. I mean, it really was. And this is a good episode because we see a lot of Dawson, Joey, and Pacey together, but they're all still friends. Nothing's happened yet. Spoiler alert. Pretty soon things start to go off the rails and the show is just divided into two kind of parts, like the pre-Pacey Joey and the post-Pacey Joey. And we're still in pre-Pacey Joey. So we're in the last few episodes of it.
Everybody kind of being together.
And it splits the series down the middle, kind of. You know, it's like a innocence versus innocence lost kind of a thing. And it was just really nice to be with all of them in this little moment.
It was.
The three of them.
Also, this is really dumb, but Kerr Smith is just so good and cute. There was like a moment when Joey first comes and he's like, oh, hey, Joe. He's just such a natural, like, I don't know, in a show full of people who are all pretty good actors, I feel like he's under the radar a little bit. And just because he's great, he's just very good. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he's very versatile. He's very natural.
Very natural. Yeah, I guess that's what I was trying to say.
He does comedy, he does drama. He's a good talk to. He's good when he's the, you know, center of the episode. He really can make throwaway line sing. I mean, he's a solid star.
Indeed. When they get back to Dawson's house, Mitch is eating ice cream and it was triggering to me. Mitch loves ice cream.
Why is it triggering?
Well, I can't tell you.
I just got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Call forward.
Call forward.
Easter egg. Easter egg. Basically Taylor Swift. Easter egg.
Gail's opening a restaurant.
I know. How about that? They just threw that in there. By the way, your mom's opening a restaurant. By the way, you will work there, you little shit. Because you got arrested and you trashed my boat and you threw a party.
You'll do whatever she needs you to do. Damn it.
We're basically poor like the Potters. I mean, if my mom had a restaurant, I'd work there.
Hell yeah.
Family business. Sign me up. Leary's Fresh Fish.
Joey can give him some pointers. She did it. There's something so nostalgic to me about Pacey's corduroy jacket and fingerless gloves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really brings me back.
I really liked Pacey's fingerless gloves, but I did not like Dawson's red fingerless gloves. Why do you think it was called the Valentine's Day Massacre?
No, that's a good question.
Nothing really went super wrong. I mean, they got arrested, I guess. They didn't even get arrested. They got thrown in a drunk tank. Have you ever been thrown in a drunk tank?
I haven't. Have you?
No, which is honestly a miracle. We've been drunk in public a lot.
We sure have.
A lot. Especially like in Solvang, that small sleepy town. We terrorized that town.
Oh my God.
Because it closes at like 7 p.m.
No, like 5:30. Everything is closed. And then we're just wandering the streets.
Screaming, falling onto broken bottles of wine where I didn't know if it was blood or red wine. I just saw red liquid everywhere.
Honestly, I have a photo of you rolling around in broken glass.
It is a miracle we've never been arrested. You threw up at the window of a Scion.
Sure did.
God, those were the days. Well, we should have been arrested, but we weren't.
Honestly, I threw up out the window of a Scion on one of the busiest streets.
It was also on the day of the National Women's March, and you were not marching. You were brunching.
Yeah, I was drowning my sorrows. We all were.
Not me. I was just happy. Happy to be included. Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got. Great episode.
Great episode. So what you watching?
I watched Will and Harper on Netflix, the documentary. Do you know about it?
Oh, yeah. I watched the first 2 minutes.
It's a documentary about Will Ferrell and Harper Steele. Harper Steele was a writer on SNL and then eventually the head writer on SNL. Trans woman. Harper and Will are like best friends. She came out in the pandemic as trans and going to transition. And then they made kind of like a buddy documentary, road trip documentary about them driving across the country. It's so good.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of buzz. I checked it out the first few seconds as I was like crawling into bed last night, so I didn't stick with it. Did Will like push her away after?
No, not at all. It's kind of funny because they talk a lot in the documentary about how a lot of people came out in many different ways, like came out with their sexuality, came out with their gender during the pandemic because they were alone and like with their thoughts. And especially for a trans person, they could dress however they wanted to dress and didn't have to see people. So by the time Harper came out, she had crafted this like incredible email and sent it to all of her friends. And it seems like everyone was super receptive. They interview her kids at the top. And yeah, it's really, really good. It's interesting because there's an episode of Malcolm Gladwell's podcast where they talk about Will and Grace and how like Will and Grace skyrocketed the acceptance of the idea of gay marriage and like all of this stuff because it was had to be kind of put into this package of the monoculture. It was this big show where so many people watched it, so it couldn't be swinging too far liberal or too far. It was really packaged to be digested by everyone in America. And I feel like Will Ferrell is kind of that. Like, everyone loves Will Ferrell. So packaging the idea of, like, a trans person and a transitioning person with Will Ferrell makes it way more digestible. Like, any situation that they got into where Harper was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm transitioning. The second they saw Will Ferrell, they were excited that Will Ferrell was there. I don't know. It's both good and bad, I guess.
The trailer just maybe hinted, or maybe it was just kind of a hook that maybe Will had regrets over how he handled it. So I wasn't sure if he just thought he could have handled it better or if that was just kind of like a mislead for the trailer or.
Yeah, no, I don't think necessarily when he first found out, but definitely there were times in their road trip where he was like, I feel like I let you down because he felt like he put her in situations that felt unsafe or, you know, things that he wished he had handled differently. So that might be where they were pulling it from.
Okay. I do want to watch that. Well, I am watching Dr. Odyssey. I know you have yet to. It's okay. I didn't love. I think it has to work through some stuff.
Okay.
You know, tonally, like Rachel Dratch was one of the patients of the week. And like, she was very out there and her storyline was kind of crazy. There was like a really corny dance off. I don't know. I have to see how the future weeks play out. Obviously, Josh was great. Just, you know, pilots are hard. So maybe it'll level out. But it was not like a love at first sight situation.
And is the premise that they're just on the boat, but the cast of characters will change because obviously people are getting on and off.
Yes, in the pilot, it was Don Johnson who's the captain, and then Josh plays the new like head doctor, and then there's a nurse practitioner under him, and then there's another, I believe he's a doctor. So that, I think those will be like the four mains. I'm sure they'll add people as it goes on, but for the pilot, they focus on those four, and then every week it's looks like it'll be there's a new passengers every week, you know. So
Okay.
it was kind of had like a Grey's Anatomy element to it, you know, but I wanted to love it, and I did not love it, but I will keep watching.
Okay, well, by next week, I will binge the first two at least, and we can commiserate.
We shall.
We shall.
Well, what are we drinking next time?
Next time for episode 315, Crime and Punishment, we will be drinking the Petty Crime. You will need Jamaican rum or any kind of rum, banana liqueur, Fernet Branca, lime juice, and orgeat. I have a feeling I'm not going to have all of these things, but I'll try my best. I know the Drunk Baker has a good orgeat recipe, so maybe I'll get fancy
Ooh.
and make some.
Well, let me tell you, it starts to get really good.
I'm so excited. We're diving into the back part of the season. We've been talking about how the back part of the season is the best.
In a lot of ways, we've been referencing these next five episodes since like the pilot. I mean, you know, the birth of our podcast was a Pacey versus Dawson podcast, but we couldn't really talk about any of that because we haven't gotten to it yet, but we're about to get to it.
Ooh, baby.
But now I don't hate Dawson as much as everyone else does, but I definitely see why people don't like him. So I don't even think we can do a Dawson versus Pacey stance at this point.
It's fluid. We're evolving.
It is fluid.
All right, that's it.
All
I'll
right.
talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.